Yeah, there's something with Chisao. It seems like such a, in some ways, profound training tool. Like it almost, it seemed like that that someone, the people down the lineage have brought it forward and nurtured it and kept it going. It's because it's in some ways it's obviously very artificial, but in other ways it's training so many levels without you being aware of it, and it's this way of, so you don't have to step back each time and say, now we're going to try this. It's you can constantly roll and constantly play with that.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know, it seems like an amazing kind of thing with
our system. It's very brilliant, and it's a great exercise to develop the skills, and, you know, it keeps moving you closer and closer to self-defense situations where, you know, the Mai Song Zhang drills take it to that next level.
Yeah.
You know? Because, you know, once the Mai Song Zhang drills happen, like, as soon as you have contact, like, bang, your hands go somewhere, and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's a curriculum for Mai Song Zhang drills, which is, you know, almost what we did yesterday, which is throwing the Zhang Saos out. That's sort of like step one, and then there's things where it looks like two people are almost fighting.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of things in between. But we continue to build on the successes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What else do I want to say? And it'll come back to me. Oh, brilliance. You know, I don't know this for a fact, but I can, you know, intuitively, it just feels so right, and I would be shocked if it was otherwise. But I mean, I can only imagine that the practice of Qi Sao is some sort of evolution from Tai Chi push hands.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. I mean, the movements are different, but the practice and the ideology is the same. It's like you're not really learning how to strike somebody, but you're learning through a repetition of set movements and patterns to train, how can I take this, for them, it's taking that person's balance.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess the underlying belief is if you can pull them out of their stance, then you can hit them anytime you want with the techniques,
mm-hmm.
right? So the way I see the evolution of that is Wing Chun is very much similar to Tai Chi push hands, but it's like stripped down. It's like unplugged. Right, so no big flowery, big fluid movements, because for us, save time, save energy, save movement is a defining part of our system. So we're not going to go into those swooping low crouching stances of Tai Chi or wide leg stances that help for balance, but mobility is maybe not so good. Like we're trying to find the balance, right, between, you know, the yin and the yang.
Mm.
The hard and the soft, the structure, the relaxation, all of those sorts of things. So it is brilliant. It is brilliant, as far as I'm concerned. You know, one of the reasons I like, or love, I should say, this martial art is, I mean, all martial arts want to build good habits and good responses, but the way that they go about it is, many of them is, okay, so if someone comes with a right cross and then a left uppercut, follow up, this is what you do this and that, or if someone swings a stick at you this way, then you do this, this, and this, and they have like this long list of, you know, dozens and dozens of responses to dozens and dozens of whatever, and I don't know if anyone's going to ever attack you exactly that way, even if they do something quite similar. It might be a slightly different angle or a different height or, you know, foot longer weapon, or, and you didn't train that specifically, you don't have the body memory, whereas the Qi Sao, by nature of just the way it is, it gives you key sort of touch points of structure to occupy center line, of which there can be lots of variants on either side of it to deal with the subtle changes. So I know I'm not sounding so clear even as I listen to myself. I'm just trying to find a simpler way to explain that. When you train to control the center line, you can deal with anything as long as it's coming on center line.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said before, well, if it's not coming on center line, I don't care about it. I'm just going to step in and do my business and it'll be done. So, but if I think I have to train, you know, 50 or 60 basic sort of, you know, self-defense scenarios, that's a lot of things to remember.
Yeah.
So that's what I really love and trust, is that I know, regardless of whether I win or not, I know that on contact, I'm not going to freeze. I'm not going to, my body and my training is going to come out. And something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I'm not going to freeze.
Yeah.
It's just too part of my being now, you know.
Yeah.
Even if I was terrified the moment right up until contact, as soon as the contact is, if someone hits the button for that software program, and it lights up, it takes over.
Yeah.
Because that's stronger than the older patterns or responses or instincts, presumably. So again, so go off-road a little bit. So when we train our edge,
yeah,
where it's a little bit stressful, a little bit uncomfortable, but not overwhelming, that's how we can reprogram those old stress responses where we would typically be triggered into, say, a fight, flight, or freeze. And now, in small, incremental, little playful experiences on our edge where we feel a little bit of the stress, we're doing something different. We're doing something different. We're doing something different. And that doing something different at the beginning activation of your stress response, mindfully, several different times, partners, years, is what rewires you to override your old stress responses. Okay, to have this martial brilliance come forward.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And because sensitivity is such a big part of that, for me what sensitivity is, oh, I know what's called for in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
I know what is actually needed in this moment. I know what is appropriate in this moment, as opposed to I overact or underact. So that's what the word attunement I've used a few times, is the sensitivity allows me to respond appropriately.
Well, and it's fascinating too, because it's not a practice of Wing Chun is not a practice of a go off into my room and think about how I could change my behavior or individual meditation or something like that, at least not when we're in the club. It's about that relational, conversational kind of aspect, and working through these things with somebody else's energy and different people's energy.
Yeah.
And Chisao is a great example of that, where you're constantly learning how to transform yourself while helping the other person.
Yeah.
But transforming yourself through the other person's
energy.
Exactly,
because even though we set up, you know, cooperative drills, and we always bring it to the edge, and when we bring people to the edge, some people might get triggered into their old stress patterns, and then you, as a, you know, partner, is like, oh, wow, how do I deal with this?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do I deal with someone who's been told 10 times to relax and they're still coming hard, like it's not getting through?
Yeah.
And you can say, oh, well, I don't want to play with them in the sandbox anymore. I mean, and obviously if it's, you know, something really extreme where your personal safety is at risk, yeah, that's a smart thing to do, but then it's like, don't project your frustration onto that person.
Mm-hmm.
Own it and say, well, how would I deal with this if this was a fight?
Yeah.
What's the solution in Wing Chun here?
Yeah.
Maybe you're really comfortable using your structure and holding your ground, and you've never really been challenged that way, and now you got someone else, and then it's like, oh man, I have to actually let go on contact and change.
Yeah.
But you've never really practiced that.
Yeah.
Right? To surrender right away and change, because you're so used to like, no, I'm going to make you work.
Yeah.
Then you got to train that.
Yeah.
And you may recall that, you know, every once in a while I keep reminding students to read the letter that I wrote to the club a couple of years ago. And one of the things that I make explicit is that because Wing Chun is highly relational,
mm-hmm.
and we train at our edge, which is a bit of a risky zone,
mm-hmm.
and we're cultivating a lot of sensitivity, which is we want people to actually feel their experience. That is a laboratory that is, it can set people up for their shit to come to the surface, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be expressed physically, it can be expressed emotionally, it can be expressed psychologically, it can be expressed in language. It can come out in ways where we hear or perceive things as aggressive, hurtful, egotistical, whatever, and it can trigger us.
Mm-hmm.
And too often, people will, when they get triggered or they get upset and they have feelings, their feelings cloud their discernment of what's really going on. And then they will maybe, with too much embellishment or too much exaggeration or too much amplification, they will project the ill onto the other person. Instead of saying, oh, wow, I really get triggered when people aren't listening to me. This is an old wound.
Hmm.
Now I can keep saying, well, this person isn't listening to me, this person isn't listening to me, and make it about them.
Yeah.
Or I can say, well, what is it about this sensitivity that I have when I don't think people, like, is it because I have low self-esteem, people don't think I have anything to say, blah, 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 blah. So those moments are opportunities to actually grow and transcend your old stuff. if you choose to remember or can remember that that's what's going on. But oftentimes we will go into fight, flight, or freeze, and what that means is we have to vilify the other person as being a problem.
So it's a chance to see that there's a hole in your central line.
Yeah. Even if someone's not playing by the rules or whatever else, it's like, what do you think a fight's going to be like?
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, we obviously want to create a safe, structured environment for your learning, but when you play on the edge, you have to expect there's going to be a little bumps and bruises along the way, physically, emotionally, psychologically, and that you're giving consent to go on that journey. But very few people think this far ahead. It's like, oh, I want to learn self-defense skills and blah, blah, blah. I say, well, this is going to open you up to more than that.
Yeah.
And, I know I'm really going off-road here, but it's important because... what I would say, you know, as we see students come and go over the years, I think one of the reasons that some students go, other than just life logistics, or they say, oh, this isn't for me, or whatever else, is because that stuff finally comes up, and they are not willing, able, or ready to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And so they will case build against a student, an instructor, the club, the art, the whatever else, as a reason for them to be able to go. Which is really sad, because, you know, it breaks my heart, because when they hit those moments, that's when they're ripe to be transformed.
Right.
You know, you cannot involve yourself in a relational practice, even though it's, you know, physical, and not think that it's going to change you or challenge you, and not just physically, but all parts of you.
Yeah.
So Chi Sao, again, for me, is one of those, if it's done well, and I think we do it exceptionally well through the curriculum and, you know, scaffolded learning, where people are, you know, you have relationships with each other, it's a safe place to let that stuff come out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a safe place to be vulnerable with your Kung Fu brothers and sisters, because we're not so macho, rah, rah, rah here, right? I mean... So, that's, again, one of the other things about the Chi Sao is the sensitivity. In order for me to have any sensitivity of what's going on with you, I have to have a lot of blocks cleared within myself.
Well, as you were saying yesterday in class, you after you pull the trigger, it's empty, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So you have to empty yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I still have structure and all that, but that's all, right? I'm not adding any more than necessary. I'm not forcing. I'm not pulling away. I'm just like my ego-less in that moment. I'm just fully receiving with what's there, knowing that I can deal with anything that happens. Now, when I don't believe I can deal with anything that happens, or I got fear or whatever, then my ego wants to come in and try and control things or limit the risk artificially. Instead of like, I'm fully willing to just feel and trust I'll be able to do something.